Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
We'd like to start by stating that the Catholic Church can never sufficiently apologize for the devastation caused to victims of sexual abuse, especially to those under our watch. This $150 million settlement is an attempt to provide some level of justice and restitution to those victims. The sex abuse crisis, which has justifiably tarnished the Catholic Church and other organizations such as Scouting, youth sports, school districts, and other religious entities, is especially reprehensible as we are called to a higher moral authority. It is a terrible, inexcusable, and unacceptable chapter in our history, and we, as the Catholic family of Western New York, bear the responsibility for our part in this travesty as church. Now is the time for us to truly live and demonstrate our gospel values of love, compassion, forgiveness, justice, and respect. Respect for victims. This situation is not the fault of Bishop Fisher, as these travesties occurred in the past under bishops and administrations long deceased. To achieve at last, after nearly 5.5 years since filing, a settlement for claims which largely stem from a period when the Diocese of Buffalo was recognized as the third largest diocese in the United States, a period where the Catholic Church was ubiquitous. It was on every street corner. There was a church, a school, a convent, a convalescent home, an orphanage run by the church. It's our time as the Catholic community to come together to step up and participate as a collective Catholic family in this solution, this $150 million settlement. The diocese itself does not, as validated by court-submitted documents and audited financial statements, have the means to single-handedly fund this settlement. And we have been clear and have communicated all along that there is necessary involvement on the part of parishes and our affiliates, as they also have claims. More than 50% of our parishes actually face claims, and individual litigation of a claim could likely bankrupt a parish or one of our affiliated entities. The funding solution and the settlement contributions that we have been communicating over the course of the past couple of weeks for each parish and affiliated entity is best and most equitably achieved using a portion of each entity's unrestricted assets. Doing so fulfills the meaningful contribution requirement necessary to achieve the desired channeling injunction protection and address the individual liability exposure that each of those institutions has. Some opponents to this funding strategy have suggested that the clergy should bear responsibility for this. In reality, only a fraction of clergy are accused, and most of those are no longer alive. That said, numerous clergy members have stepped forward and voluntarily contributed to the settlement fund. And I would add that the 891 claims are not exclusively claims that name clergy, as 135 of them also name lay volunteers, employees, scout leaders, and women religious, none of whom were under the direct control or influence of the Bishop of Buffalo. And last, Brayton, before addressing your questions, I want to share that we looked at various funding methodologies. And when I say we, it was a broad group of individuals who provided input and analysis relative to the information that was disseminated in our Vicariates last week. It's important to note that every diocese that has gone through the bankruptcy process has had to come up with an allocation strategy which has included the parishes. We've been very transparent to parishes again all along and have repeatedly suggested through their representatives who have communicated this that roughly 65% of their assets would likely be utilized in a settlement, an eventual settlement. The only way, again, forward is through this collective Catholic contribution based on unrestricted assets.
So based on the methodology that you guys did come up with, feel free to just take us through the decision in terms of how you're going to come up with the settlement money from the parishes under the Buffalo Catholic Diocese.
So the contribution itself, the $150 million settlement offer has some various component parts. It includes contributions from parishes and from two respective pieces. Parish cash and investments that are unrestricted. And it, Brayton, you should know that parishes all report their financials every year at the close of the fiscal year, which is August 31st. So we use numbers that the parishes reported in order to come up with this allocation methodology. Another piece of the parish contribution will come from real estate associated with underutilized properties that are parish-owned properties. The diocese will be contributing as well as from unrestricted cash reserves, which are de minimis, especially after the expenses that have been incurred over the last 5.5 years during this Chapter 11 process. We also have, and this has been very publicly announced, we're selling nearly every piece of real estate that the diocese owns other than St. Joseph's Cathedral. And we're using those real estate proceeds as part of the diocesan contribution. The diocese contribution will really, at the end of the day, absorb 85% of its available resources. The last remaining portion of the settlement contribution is expected to come from affiliates. And they too have claims. In order to exonerate those claims, they need to make a contribution towards the settlement fund.
We talked to a canon lawyer recently who does not believe that the rationale or the methodology reflects the obligations that the bishop has to the people of the diocese, and thus violating canon law of the Catholic Church. What's the response to that? Who, you know, a canon lawyer who claims that the diocese is in the wrong canon law?
We believe he's focused on the wrong canon. We too have investigated this extensively with our canon lawyers, and believe fully that this contribution formula is appropriate within the confines of the parish and the parish legal structure, and are pursuing that contribution methodology accordingly.
Parishioners in churches on the closing or the merger list have voiced to us that they are viewing this as an attack almost on their ability to stay open. What can you tell the people that have been frustrated and that are quite frankly angry about the process?
First, Brayton, the recommendation for their closure was not a Chapter 11 recommendation. It was a separate and distinct, unrelated to Chapter 11, process known as renewal. And renewal is actually a global initiative that's underway in many, if not most, dioceses, more of the older established dioceses, where demographics have changed. And those demographics really illustrate an overbuilt system, which is no longer sustainable. And that was what led to that those demographics, as well as Sacramento details, led to the recommendations for renewal. The contribution expectation from those closed parishes recognizes that those parishes will still have 20% of their resources left in order to make ongoing obligations, commitments, and bills associated with operating their facility. Plus, they still have ongoing Sunday or weekend offertory in order to contribute towards their cash flow needs.
What's the message for the parishioners that feel that the different levels, I guess, or the tiers is the right word of what certain churches are paying? Some feel that some churches are maybe getting a little more benefit of the doubt than others. What is the message?
Yeah, so Brayton, this is we designed this, and it's very consistent with what many other dioceses have done throughout the country, where the various tiers are based on the level of cash for each of the organizations. And we look at their ability to continue moving forward. Obviously, cash parishes with lower amounts of cash, more, if you will, akin to a break even, they would see a much less percentage of allocation. The bankruptcy attorneys have said that is still a meaningful contribution for that level, and so on and so forth. So the more cash, with a view of the remaining cash and the ability for the parish to continue, has been considered. So we think it's a very balanced, very equitable, and it is very consistent what is being done throughout the country in similar situations.
The Candelier we also talked to, he says he'd encourage pastors within the diocese not to pay the tab placed on them as part of this. And some of the parishes that have talked with us have even discussed that it's an option that they would want to consider. What happens if they don't pay the tab that has been put on?
Number one, if you don't mind, Rick, this is an obligation. This is part of the contribution is part of the obligation of the Catholic Family Settlement. So every single parish is a civil corporation. As part of this as this Catholic Family Settlement, they will get released from claims through the effective date and any subsequent that may arise if the window is opened again. So that's a crucial part of all of this. And I would just end it too. We suggest to all the parishes, as we are doing, mm-hmm. that they have some excellent attorneys that have been retained strictly on behalf of the parishes, looking at it purely from their viewpoint. They need to refer to those attorneys who are actively engaging these parishes and get the proper advice. I can't speak to the veracity of the canon lawyer running around, but we suggest that they have counsel already retained, already being paid for, and that they refer those questions to them.
Any concern over anything civil from parishioners or any other civil lawsuits that could provide a hiccup, I guess, in the road with these settlement payments?
The focus of the settlement payment would be on the CVA claims. We're not anticipating other action stemming from this.
Okay. Can a church that's holding $2.5 million in that range plus in unrestricted cash be deemed to be one that needs to close in the first place? I mean, usually that might indicate it's a sign of a healthy parish. Is that fair to say?
The signs of a healthy parish are more than cash in the bank. A healthy parish is a vibrant parish. It's a parish where it's a hotbed of activity, outreach to the community, high sacramental involvement, people being welcomed into the faith. Money in the bank is not an indication of the vitality of a parish.
I think some people are questioning just the fact of just whether or not the diocese has the money just to pay it themselves and some other ways to, you know, come up with money or whatnot. But many people just want to know where some of the reserve money is being held, I guess, at this point. So I guess the question is, does the diocese not have the funds to pay the settlement off?
The diocese has the money in reserve, plus with diocesan real estate sales, to pay its portion of the structured settlement that we proposed to court. That has been questioned by the judge presiding over the case. We have demonstrated to him, and if we could not be good for that money, we would not have agreed to the $150 million settlement.
Yeah, but just also to recognize, Brayton, this is not a diocesan obligation only, as Rick has said. The many cases that have been raised all mention various parish corporations. So this is not just a diocesan solution, if you will. This is a Catholic family settlement, and the obligation is to be shared with all members of the Catholic family organization.
What about help from the Vatican? Is that possible with anything with this settlement at all?
No. It's in theory, it's a wonderful idea. In reality and practicality, it is not.
And how will this settlement potentially impact the budgets and the health of Catholic schools in the area in Western New York?
We have been very engaged in a Catholic school strategic plan over the past 18 months. In that process, we have been very much encouraging the Catholic schools, which are directly affiliated with the parish, known as parochial schools, that they need to be cognizant of the fact that the settlement could compromise a parish subsidy to their operating budget, and that they needed to really increase their fundraising in order to potentially offset. They needed to take a strategic focus on enrollment management, and increasing enrollment to building capacity levels, and also consider, you know, if their tuition is really reflective of their cost of operation and the cost of delivering an excellent education. It is, you know, our intention, and it is Bishop's commitment, that Catholic education remain a priority within the Diocese of Buffalo, and it's available to all who want it. We have a close collaborative relationship with the Bison Scholarship Fund, and the Bison Fund has definitely increased its commitment to making tuition also affordable and to all in Western New York who desire an alternative to public school education.
Okay. Anything more that either Rick or you, Al, want to say as, you know, maybe a closing thought to the people of Western New York and to the Catholics of Western New York and the Diocese of Buffalo?
I would ask your listeners to remain hopeful. The Catholic Church will survive. It has evolved and survived for more than 2,000 years. This settlement gives us the ability to close, at least from the church's perspective, this chapter, although we realize that the harm that was caused to victims is never erased, and it is something that we will continue to do what we can to help them. But we will move forward. We hope that we will be stronger as we move forward, and we would hope and expect and pray that the faithful remain with us.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores, fast, friendly, clean.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.